Technology frequently has a way of outpacing copyright. The two forces of innovation all too rarely intersect, at least for many authors and publishers. But a month-old startup with ambitions to revolutionize textbook publishing has made copyright permissions an integral part of its app. Welcome to Copyright Clearance and its podcast series. My name is Christopher Keneally, your host for Beyond the Book. And Scott Hasbrook, a serial entrepreneur and co-founder of Ginkgo Tree, joins me now from his corner office in a former brewery in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Welcome, Scott.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we're delighted to have you join us today. And before we get into what Ginkgo Tree is up to, we want to tell people that in your part of your background, a former PhD student in physical chemistry, you were also the developer of PaperDesk, one of the top note-taking apps for the iPad. And so you're somebody who's, as I say, a serial entrepreneur. And we look forward to talking to you about Ginkgo Tree, whose stated purpose, and we should mention it's device agnostic, is to let professors and other instructors build their own online textbooks from videos, images, sound, and scan selections from previously published books and related works. And along the way, of course, you also get permission to reuse all that copyrighted stuff. So, Scott, where did this idea come from? What were you trying to do when you sat down to develop this?
Well, the idea came from, it was a hybrid of when I was a TA in a PhD program at the University of Georgia, and when I was also developing PaperDesk. I launched PaperDesk right as I was going into my PhD program a little over 2 years ago. And, you know, being involved at a TA just gave me a glimpse into the process of higher education. And one of the first things I saw that really bothered me was how course materials were handled. You know, I've obviously been exposed to them quite a bit as an undergraduate, but it was the first time I was on the other side and, you know, using them as an instructor. And just comparing how antiquated course materials seemed compared to, you know, all of the innovative stuff that was happening on the iPad in the App Store, you know, that I was now heavily involved in you know, developing, you know, one of the top note-taking apps at night, you know, when I came home from work. That caused me to start really thinking about things about a year ago, and I realized as my time as a TA started ending, you know, and I was going to go into research full time, I realized that my passion to teach exceeded my passion for scientific research. My wife and I spent a week on vacation, and we did some soul searching together, and we came to the conclusion together that I needed to pursue something full time, and I didn't quite know what that was going to be yet. So I actually spent 6 months talking to as many people as I could in higher ed, which included everything from publishers, from Cengage to smaller publishers like Flat World Knowledge that were a bit more innovative in how they handle you know, copyrighted materials. And then I spoke to the other end of the spectrum. And I spoke to as many college professors as I could, ones that were prominent in the ed tech spheres on the internet. So what I found was is most of the ed tech solutions were almost entirely focused on content and students, and very few or none were focused on the instructors. So I realized pretty quickly that even though something like course material seems like a very flooded market, in that there are already so many solutions out there, because it's such a large market. I mean, it's like, what, $8 billion a year that, you know, students spend on course materials every year, combined with the fact that no one's really been truly innovating very much in what professors want, I saw a huge opportunity for change.
Well, what did you hear from professors that they did want?
Okay, yeah, so that's a really good question. One of the biggest things that I heard, probably the biggest thing that I heard, is that I had not talked to a single professor that was 100% happy with any textbook in any subject. Independent of what subject, whether it was a hard science or a soft science, or if it was art or humanities, you know, everyone from my undergraduate advisor to professors that I've just you know, shot an email to and asked for a phone call. None of them were happy with their textbooks. Probably at best, they were 40 or 50% happy with the content. And what they really wanted was a way to customize their materials, because they, the fact is college, most college professors have a ton of freedom of how they teach in the classroom, just an enormous amount. They especially compared to K-12. And unfortunately, that's not true when it comes to finding a textbook for your class. So some of the more aggressive ones that either that somehow dug the time out of their schedule to try to put something together themselves would do everything from try to launch a WordPress blog, you know, to use as a course material hub. A lot of them, quite frankly, would just illegally photocopy stuff and hand it out in class. That's actually a huge issue. I remember that happening when I was an undergraduate, and that's obviously not good for anyone involved. So the biggest thing that I heard was customization. And it makes sense. If you think about it, what social media and the internet has done in almost every other realm that it's touched is completely customize everything. You know, it's even happening with physical products now with 3D printing. We're a society that's quickly moving away from mass-produced software and products that is supposed to be one-size-fits-all to everything is finely tuned. You know, I mean, there's almost a million apps you can choose from to do anything you'd want to do, and I quickly see that becoming the solution with course materials. So.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, Scott Husberg, CEO, co-founder of Ginkgo Tree, I guess the point you just made strikes me as quite fascinating. Professors have tremendous freedom in the classroom, but it's the textbooks they're working with that confine them. And so really the kind of solution that you're offering is to give them that very same freedom.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, in almost every case, the textbook is the thing, the only thing that it restrains them. Almost all professors I spoke with had very little bureaucracy or red tape from their institutions. And it really is course materials alone were the thing that were holding them back.
Well, you know, it's interesting. And what caught my eye about Ginkgo Tree when I read about it is the incorporation of copyright permissions clearing. You use Copyright Clearance Center. There are a variety of ways to do that. We're not the only one, but we certainly are glad you're working with us. But why is that so important to professors? And you mentioned that many of them feel guilty about all the kind of reuse of materials. They probably feel like they have no choice. Now you're giving them a choice that lets them incorporate the materials, but also get the permissions that they need.
Yeah, absolutely. With everybody that I spoke with, if there were an easy option to do what they want to do and use copyrighted materials on a page-by-page basis, they would do that in a heartbeat. But the fact is nothing like that really exists. There are some solutions, but they're very clunky, and quite frankly, the markup on them is kind of high, and it ends up costing more than a textbook, which almost completely defeats the other purpose of professors wanting to come onto our system to lower expense to students. But the reason we found so much value in this is that in asking what professors wanted to use for course materials, it was a mix. It was, you know, a third of my materials I want to be YouTube videos or videos from Khan Academy. Another third I want to be stuff that I've written myself that I've had in these 8 million folders on my computer, you know, in Word docs. And then, you know, the other part of it is, well, I want this huge variety of selections from books on my bookshelf, but how do I get that into a course pack? Well, I can't, so I just photocopy them and hand them out in class, and the rest of it is a list of links on Blackboard. So that's why it's so entirely important, because open source is amazing. It's great. I think it's a really important movement on the internet. But the fact is that there's still an enormous amount of material out there that has to be copyrighted, that the only way it can be produced is by, you know, funding. And the way you do that is by clearing copyrights. So the Copyright Clearance Center API was probably one of those most valuable resources we found in trying to solve this problem. Because originally we were going to have to lock professors down to only using open source content, you know, if we want to do it legally, which we have to. So, you know, in finding the Copyright Clearance Center API, we removed the last sort of restriction on our system, in that they'll seriously be able to use anything they can find. If it's a book on their shelf, a video on the internet, and it all gets combined neatly into one bundle in one resource.
And in fact, you will even generate a shipping labels for people to send you the books from their shelves, if you will, in their offices, and you do the scanning and mm-hmm. get them back. Very briefly, what about the cost issue? How does what Ginkgo Tree is doing have an impact on lowering the cost for textbooks?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, the first thing is one of the biggest feedbacks we heard is that most textbooks, the professor will only use about 30 or 40% of the material in. So immediately, if you only require the students to purchase the exact pages that they're going to read, that's a huge cut in price. And also, if you look at the per page prices in the Copyright Clearance Center's library, they're typically about, 10, 15 cents a page. Most professors we're talking to want to use maybe 100, 200 pages. So, 20 or 30 bucks in copyrighted materials is drastically less, about 20%. It's about 20 or 30% of the cost of a $200 textbook. And then, the great thing is we're able to, make a profit on this by just charging the students a small monthly fee to access our system. So it ensures that, we're going to survive. Because the fact is we're a bootstrap startup. So to be around here and continue making great products, we have to have a profit pretty quickly. And, this model allows us to do that. And at the same time, if the students are paying, anywhere from $30 to $50 for their course materials, that's about a quarter or more less than, a typical $200 brand new textbook from the bookstore. And then the other way it helps is, if they can replace some of the copyrighted materials with open source and public domain things that are free, it even further reduces the cost. And then the last bit of this is, our goal is to get students on our system. It doesn't really matter to us that if they're taking one or 40 classes, no one takes that many classes, but it doesn't matter if they're taking an entire course load on our system. The expense to us is about the same. So we're just passing that along to the students. We're not going to charge them any extra if they have three or four professors using Ginkgo Tree, and it's still just $10 a month to access the system. So that's how we're lowering costs. And in pretty much every case that we've spoken with our early adopting professors, that's what we're hearing is, yes, this is going to be much less expensive for students.
Well, let's turn now to Lita Hasbrook, who works with Scott in that office there in the old brewery in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Lita, welcome to Beyond the Book.
Hi, thanks, Chris.
Well, Lita, you handled the marketing and the public relations for this now month-old startup, Ginkgo Tree, and already generated a lot of buzz online, and you've got some customers to tell us about, and in particular, curious about their reaction, not only to the points Scott was just making regarding lowering cost, but also the incorporation of copyright clearance. How are things going so far, and what have you been hearing?
A lot of really great feedback. The professors and librarians and everyone who's been looking at Ginkgo Tree have really loved the direction that we're headed. They've been very specifically pointing out that the copyright clearance has been a huge hurdle to tackle for them. One of the heads of library department had talked to me about just the influx of materials that come in and from professors and trying to get through all that, and how she knows that many professors just completely ignore the system that they have set up within their specific college and copy and just freely copy materials for their students. And it's a huge frustration, a huge legal problem, and most professors are just attempting to skirt that. And she sees this as an excellent way for that to be stopped.
Well, indeed. And I guess the other thing that's so important, I'm sure, to professors is what Scott was also mentioning, which is the freedom that an app like Ginkgo Tree offers people. What's been the response there? The ability to incorporate material from all media must really be something that gets a lot of professors jazzed up.
Yeah. They've been using other services, some of them at least, where they're limited to only the content that service has available. And those, private libraries for the services are just too small. They have to transition off the content they've already used or they've been using, possibly for years or decades teaching, in one set of books. And that's really hard for professors. As it is, they already have to, you know, keep their course content up to date, and to ask them to just transition off everything that they've been using is not a good option for them or for their students, because getting reacclimated to new material really creates kind of this divide with, you know, do I have everything I need? You know, what is going to be applicable to this section that I was teaching before? And this just lets them expand upon the material in any way that they want. So, you know, they're probably not already using a lot of videos or, you know, as many as they'd like. Same with audio guides or whatever. They're not incorporating those much into their lectures. So now they can, and it can just build on the material they're already using.
Well, turning back to Scott Hasbrook, CEO, co-founder of Ginkgo Tree, one last question, Scott. There you are sitting in that old brewery in Ann Arbor, Michigan, certainly a college town. But how does it feel to be part of this revolution in digital publishing? I mean, you and your wife can sit there over a single desk and really take on some really big players. That must be a kind of a daunting feeling to have.
It seems daunting, but honestly, it's kind of amazing how much impact we've already had. To be completely transparent, we only spent 3 months building the product we have now, and you know, the invitations we've received to events and to speak it, and you know, and the feedback we've received, it's mind-boggling how a team of just four people can do something that, you know, such a large corporation can't. And it's exciting and it feels very empowering. You know, it's something that I feel like hasn't happened in American society in a very, very long time, that, you know, that innovation in new spaces has been limited to corporations with, you know, millions and millions of dollars with huge teams, and that, you know, the tech startup revolution is definitely changing that. And just in watching what's happened with other edtech startups, not even just edtech startups, but startups in general, in most of the cases, the big players can't keep up with the agility and speed of a small startup like us. I don't entirely understand why that is. I have a lot of hypotheses on it, but it doesn't really matter to me, because the fact is that's the way it is. And I have every confidence, especially now that we've started with the feedback we've gotten and the number of people that have told us they want to use our system with just the small bit of press that we've received. I have every bit of confidence that we're going to be here and we're going to make a huge dent. So.
Well, Scott Hasbrook, co-founder and CEO of Ginkgo Tree there in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
And Lita Hasbrook, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Chris, for having me.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as now images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at the Copyright Clearance Center website, copyright.com. Just click on Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.